This is your warlord of weird, Sin Bodhi. Look both ways before you cross the street while you're skating on thin ice carrying scissors. You're listening to The Final Count.
Hi, this is former WWE superstar Kieran Cross, and you're listening to The Final Count.
This is former WWE and TNA Impact superstar Mike Knox, a.k.a. Nux. You are listening to The Final Count. Keep it tuned.
Hey everybody, Anthony Corelli here, formerly known as Santino Morella, and you are listening to The Final Count.
Yo, peeps, you're listening to The Final Count with my boy Ryan right there, bro. So listen, don't forget who's telling you this. It's your boy, Eric.
Hello everybody, it's the Croc Rockin', Nickelback Poppin', Curls for All the Girls, the Perminator, Sam Beal, as seen on Impact Wrestling, and you are listening to The Final Count.
That's right, and welcome to the Final Count Spotlight. This is the first Final Count Spotlight, and on this episode of the Final Count Spotlight, I'll be joined by my guest, ROW Reality of Wrestling Champion, the current Reality of Wrestling Champion, Matty Ice. He'll be joining me in just a few moments, but right now I want to encourage you to go ahead and, if you have not done so already, go and give us a follow on all of our social media. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/thefinalcountky. You can also follow us on Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, the X. And then you can also find us on Instagram and now on TikTok at thefinalcountky. That's on Instagram, on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter. And then now on TikTok. At the Final Count KY on all. Go ahead and go give us a follow. Go give us likes. Share our stuff. Share all of our stuff on our pages. Go and check it all out. And go give us some love on the Final Count social media. I want to thank you for all your support in doing so. I want to thank you for all your support and just listening. Just you listening and being a fan of the Final Count and supporting the Final Count in that way means a lot, and it's a huge thing, and we can't stress that enough. I can't thank you all enough for all of your support, for all of your listens, for all of you that are listening wherever you are in the world listening to the Final Count. And I want to go ahead and mention a part of Friday. You will get to meet the new co-host, Chance Karpinski. So I want to go ahead and prep you for that, and it's going to be a great show on Friday. But this is, again, the Final Count Spotlight, the first ever Final Count Spotlight. Again, this is going to be a new format here. On Tuesdays, we will release a new Final Count Spotlight, and then on Fridays, we will release our review show / news show. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage you to keep coming along for the ride. Stay on the cart. Stay on the roller coaster. It's going to be a roller coaster of a ride. And we got some video. We're going to have, coming soon in September, we're going to have video available for you to listen to the podcast, to watch the podcast through video. You can also still continue to listen. So we're going to have audio and video available coming in September, starting out with certain episodes. So it won't be every episode starting out, but it'll be, you know, maybe every other episode or something like that. I don't know. We'll see. We'll go going forward, and we'll announce that as well. And we'll let you know, we'll let you know that on the first episode that we have video on. So I want to encourage you to check us out on YouTube when we get on YouTube, as far as with video, and you can see us talking with, whoever is being spotlighted for that week. Or you can see us talk to, you can see me and Chance talk. You can see us talk some wrestling. And you can join us in that way. You can comment below in the comments what you think about what we're discussing. All this different stuff. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a great thing that you can be a part of. And we're going to have some interaction in it. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage you to keep staying along for the ride. And we want to, again, thank you for all of your support. You can also, if you want to support us on Spotify, there is a way that you can do so with donations if you would like to. It's totally free to listen. There's nothing like that. But if you would like to support the Final Count in any way, money-wise, donation-wise, you can. Nobody's pulling your arm or twisting your leg to do that. I just want to throw that out there. And also, you can support us by going to WWE.com and using our link. We have a link we share on our social media, and we share it periodically. And so, yeah, go support us that way as well, by just buying your favorite WWE Superstars merch or buying that championship belt, whatever it may be. Just thank you for all of your support in that way. And then thank you for all of your support just in general. But right now I want to throw it to some plugs for all of our podcast listening platforms and all that good stuff. And then we'll throw it to Al Snow and Colornello. And then we'll throw it to our interview with Matty Ice. Stay tuned.
You can find us on social media by going to facebook.com/thefinalcountky on Facebook, and then on Instagram and Twitter at thefinalcountky, and on YouTube you can find all of our past episodes by just typing in the search bar thefinalcountky. Also, I want to mention we are now on more platforms for podcasts, such as Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, and also on iTunes. So be sure to check us out on all those platforms that you can find podcasts on. The Final Count is on all of those platforms that I just mentioned. I want to go ahead and mention that if you go to ColinElbowBrand.com and use the promo code Final Count KY, you can save 10% at checkout when you use our promo code, and you will be supporting not only Colin Elbow, but you will also be supporting the Final Count and getting merch and all that good stuff. Colin Elbow has good swag. Definitely recommend it. Very comfortable, great fitting swag, t-shirts and shirts. So definitely go over and check out ColinElbowBrand.com. Use the promo code Final Count KY, that's in all caps, and save yourself 10% at checkout, and tell them the Final Count sent you, and say hi to Al Snow. But with more, speaking of Al Snow, with more on ColinElbowBrand.com, with more on Colin Elbow, here is Al Snow.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The wrestling brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connects emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
All right, fans, joining me now, I am joined by the current ROW champion, Matty Ice. How you doing, Matty?
How's it going?
Going pretty good. Going pretty good. Thank you for joining me on the Final Count this week.
My pleasure.
Yes. So getting right into it, when did you decide to get into the pro wrestling business?
Oh, see. Well, that had to have been about 5 months into 2012. So May 2012.
All right. Did you watch wrestling growing up, or?
Yeah, a little here and there. Not as much as your typical fan, I guess you would say. or at least I don't remember enough growing up. You know, I started rewatching somewhere along the lines of mid 2000s, and then I had to backtrack from there, you know, to remember everything else, that how they got there. So
right.
Missed out on quite a bit, actually.
Okay. Did you have any, like, did you have any people you enjoyed watching or take inspiration from?
What, when I was younger, or
kind of both, when you were younger or when you got back into it?
Definitely Randy Orton when I was younger, and then I was rewatching everything, like Rock and Stone Cold, obviously. But I don't think when I got into it, I started looking more along the lines of like wrestlers that aren't really appreciated as much, like Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, you know, now some more so than ever, like Hogan, Cena. But yeah, the one constant in them all is definitely Randy Orton.
Awesome, awesome. I like that. And then, like, from your Instant Classic, I like, you know, how you call yourself as Matt Vine, the Instant Classic. Like, I like that.
Yeah.
And, like, I can tell, like, that's kind of Randy Orton-esque, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, yeah, I guess you could say that, yeah.
Do you remember your first match? And if so, what was that like?
Oh, God. Actually, not in its entirety, but I do remember the first match and everything. It was a six-man tag for absolutely no reason whatsoever. And it was just absolutely horrible. There was, honestly, I think I may as well have dropkicked this guy's knee. It was so bad. But, yeah, it was just back when I was with a company that just threw people in there, just throw people in there.
Yeah, you know, I've doing as long as I've been doing this podcast, everyone's match, their first match, it's always an interesting thing. They're just thrown into it or something like that, like you just told yourself, you know. And so, like, those first match stories are always interesting.
Right.
This one, this next question is a question that it kind of stumps people, so it's okay if you don't know off the top of your head. If you pick three matches as your favorite matches thus far in your career, what three matches would you pick?
Three matches thus far in my career, so my favorite three matches so far that I've had. Well, I've had so many of them though, that I really can't pinpoint it into any. Like, obviously, when I face a guy who. Okay. Obviously, when I face a guy who's, like, been on TV or something like that, I would say. So, I mean, there's a few there. I've wrestled Nick Aldis, Pillman Jr., Jay Lethal, EC3, Jay Bradley, Moose. So anytime I wrestle, like, one of those guys, it's like, oh, cool. Rhett Titus also comes to mind from one of those guys, but not necessarily some of my better ones. There's a kid that was in the same company as me. His name is Sem. He wrestles as a guy named Sem Say. He's a really good performer. American Ninja Warrior. Him and I always put on classics, instant classics, if you will, when we get in the ring. So him would be one, and then a third one, I guess my next one.
There you go. No, yeah. I like that answer. I like that you named people, you know, because it took a different way. And I like that that you named the different people you like to work with. So, or your top three people working with. So I like that. Now, as I said, you go by Matty Ice, but you did go by Matt Vine for a little bit.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
How did you come up with the Goodfella gimmick?
Well, I'm half Italian. Goodfellas is my favorite movie. I don't know if I should say or shouldn't say, but my family is. I'll leave it as they may or may not. They know some people, or they are some people. I'll just leave it at that. You know. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Okay.
Yeah. I like that. Pretty cool how you used your roots right there.
A little bit.
How did you also have another moniker the Instant Classic. How'd you come up with that?
I didn't actually. Dustin Jackson from back in OVW, he used to, I don't think we even wrestled one-on-one. I think we wrestled once when I first started coming down to OVW. And then I left because just going down to Kentucky is just so much of a trek for me, and I wasn't able to do it at the time. And I come back, and this kid named Omar Amir is the heavyweight champion. And then, of course, you know, I've been away for such a long time that they, you know, they put me up against him and, you know, had me do favors for him. And he's running around trying to talk me out like a nervous wreck. And I go, you gotta just calm down, man. This is a simple match, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And then Dustin Jackson walks up the stairs and he's still walking around. He's like, hey, man, you think you could talk to not Dustin, but Omar. He's like, hey, do you think you could talk to this guy? I don't know if it's going to be a turd or not. And he goes, oh, you're wrestling Matt Vine? Oh, dude, you're about to have an Instant Classic. Just go out there and listen to what he says. And I'm like, I'm just sitting there. I'm listening to him. I'm like, huh. Thanks, Dustin. I'm going to steal that one. So that's where it came from, actually. Dustin Jackson was telling another guy that I put on Instant Classics in the ring.
Wow, that's awesome. That's like a testament to you, for real.
Yeah.
Like, that's something to be proud of right there.
One of the few people.
What did it mean to you to be the premier pro wrestling heavyweight champion?
Which time? First time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time?
Just of all times, just in general.
So I actually just went back there. That place is where I learned the majority of what I know today. So I go back there and I help out the guys as much as I possibly can. So some of the guys, like Sem that I mentioned earlier, he still performs there from time to time. To me, that's always going to hold a special place for me in my heart, no matter how much the landscape there has changed, no matter how much it's going to change. It's always held a special place right here, because Premier Pro Wrestling was, for all intents and purposes, not supposed to make it. Not just this far, but period. It was supposed to be closing its doors years ago. And the promoter took a roll of the dice, and he decided to get on this thing called YouTube. And he took a chance on me. And from when I became champion to the point when I left, but within a few years, like 2 years or so, we went from, and this is back in mid-2010s, mind you, we took the company from 1,000 subscribers to just under 50,000 subscribers on YouTube. And then WWE, or just some wrestling article came out online, the top YouTube wrestling promotions on YouTube, you know, promotions that are on YouTube, and Premier Pro Wrestling was like number 32 in the entire world, not just in the nation, but in the entire world. And so for me to be champion, to get the company to that point, that's prime, you know.
That's awesome. I like that. That's
yeah,
definitely, like, for you to help that growth and be a part of that growth, like, that's huge. And Premier Pro Wrestling, you worked with Jay Bradley. What was that like?
Jay, he is the big brother that I never wanted, but definitely needed. He is, for all intents and purposes, like, he can be branded as like some kind of bully, but wrestling needs people like him. They really do. And I think that Brad gets kind of a bad rap. He has like this way of looking at things that not a lot of people these days look at things, as far as wrestling is concerned. So he is definitely this viable tool for the industry that is severely underappreciated, and I learned so much from him, because when he came in, I was the champion of Premier Pro Wrestling for whatever, third, fourth time, I don't know. And he came in and I thought like, oh, we're going to do so much shit. He comes in, we don't do anything that I think we were going to do. And he wasn't going to do anything like how I was wrestling with all these, he didn't do anything that these other guys were doing with me. And I'm like, I get to the back and I look at the promoter. I'm like, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. Like, I didn't know nothing about this industry. And that was a great, at that point, you know, that was a great wake up call to learn what Jay had to offer at the time. So yeah, bit of a jerk, but you need jerks in this world, you know? You
oh, need yeah, for sure. For yeah. sure. Definitely. And like, I'm sure working with him was pretty intense. Like, dude's a, he's a hoss. You know,
he's one of the I don't want to not bury the guy, but he's one of the softest guys in the ring with you. He takes, you know, you know he's there, but he's not. You're not going to go home and like not be able to get up your stairs. You know what right, I mean? Right. Yeah.
Takes care of it.
Yeah.
For sure. How did your time in OVW come to be?
How
did your time in OVW come to be?
Come to be. Well, what do you mean? Which time?
Like, how did you get the opportunity?
Jay Bradley. Jay Bradley was the guy.
Really?
Yeah, he got me the opportunity. He moved away down towards he didn't move away at the time. He was just reaching out back out to Al, because at that point in his life, I think he was like, I need to work better people, or I need to get back in TV. And he was trying to get back into Japan. And I guess he was thinking about moving back down that way. And it was just like giving him a reason to keep going down there more and more. So he asked me like, you know, send me all your stuff. I'm going to send it over to Al and we'll see what he says. And I go, and he goes, get yourself a Kentucky license. With me, it's like that quick, you know, I just got it all done. And he brought me down the first night I wrestled Crimson, and I beat Crimson on my first night there. Oh, it was, that was something.
That's pretty awesome.
But yeah, dynamic has changed there so much, so quickly too.
It truly has. Like, it really, truly has. Like, even from a fan standpoint, like, I've been going to OVW shows since like 2004. So back
to 2004.
Yeah, in developmental days for WWE.
And yeah.
I've seen pretty much everyone come and go, you know,
right.
since that time. And it definitely changed. You're a former OVW Kentucky Heavyweight Champion. What did it mean to you to be the Kentucky Heavyweight Champion?
To be honest, it felt like it almost, at the time, it just felt like a please keep coming here sort of thing. I was getting towards, I mean, that is a six-hour drive for me, and I would do it on a weekly basis. And I think I was starting to vent my frustrations, but they knew how good I was. And I think they needed a guy like me. They were giving me something and taking it away, giving me something and taking it away from me. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why I have a little bit of absenteeism now, is I can't put myself in that situation right now. So if it's, you know, to make that kind of long drive and be giving and taking, one step forward, two step back, two step forward, one and a step, half steps back. Every time I go, it came to the point where it's like, would you do this? And if not, you know, you get what I'm saying? So to me, it was like almost like a hush, hush, hush sort of thing, but it was much appreciated. And at the time, I never thought I was going to be able to win something outside of Premier Pro Wrestling.
Right.
So that was the first championship I won outside of Premier Pro Wrestling. So that right there held some value to me a little bit too, but at the same time, it was also like, you know, why are they doing this? You know what I mean? Yeah,
exactly. Now, who were some of your favorite people to work with in OVW?
Back then, or more sort of like now?
Now.
There's a guy there, Tony Evans, that they are just missing the ball with, or they're just taking their sweet time with making a superstar. He's getting built. They're doing the slow build thing with him, but that kid, I mean, Jesus, he just emanates so much heat.
Mm-hmm.
And like, as far as wrestling is concerned, he's enough to get through a match, you know, but God, he is such a character, and I love it. Him, Ryan Howe. Ryan Howe, we've had one hell of a summer last year. One of the best times ever, him and I. We took our rivalry on the road with us to Impact Wrestling. That was great. Him and I wrestled each other in Impact Wrestling from what we were doing in OVW. You know, so those guys, those two guys, I could say – I had the most enjoyable time in the ring and, you know, having my matches with them. And as well as, like, I wish there was a program that Tony Evans and I could have done, but it was just matches for him and I. But Ryan Howe and I had a nice little program going, and it was beautiful. It really was. That was probably my favorite, I guess probably my only feud really down there, but it was probably my favorite time. But coming down and working with Tony Evans is always a blast. So,
I agree on Tony Evans. He's a alumni of the podcast here, and so like I definitely agree with Tony Evans. He definitely has that charisma and everything, and like he's got something. And then like
he does.
Literally,
he does.
A couple weeks after becoming,
if he could just learn to wrestle,
he was Kentucky heavyweight champion, and
yeah,
just lost it again. I'm like, seriously.
If he could just learn to wrestle, man, that's all.
Yeah. He's got the charisma. It's just, yeah. We mentioned that you are the reality of wrestling champion. And so I want to ask you, initially, how did you get into ROW? How did that come to be?
How did I get in there? You know, that one I'm kind of proud of, because I think I did all that. You see me down here. Yeah, I'm a little dog here. That one I did pretty much all by myself. One of my friends came with me the first time. It was just after COVID was settling down a little bit and people were starting to fill up, going back into arenas. But I reached out I don't know who I talked to, but I think eventually I ended up getting to Charmelle, and she's like, yeah, just come on down. And I didn't think they actually remembered, but I was going to go down there the Friday before the show, and I went down there the Friday before the show. The doors are locked. When I'm looking at my friend, I'm like, well, this is not good, man. We're kind of screwed. Like, I did not fly down here for this. And he goes, it's all right, man. We're here till Sunday, so let's just get it all taken care of. I go, you're right. So we go, and we just screwed up. We had no idea. We'd never been to Texas before. We had no idea what there was to do out there. So it was just like, we're in between Houston and Galveston, so there's not much out there. You're in, like, it's the suburbs, but there's really not much action going out there, and I didn't know where to go to do anything. So, it was just like, we thought it was a bus for a whole day. And then the next day we come back and the people are there, thank God. And, I come back and I'm like, hey, I'm not sure if any of you might know who I am. I'm the guy from Chicago that is supposed to have a tryout match today. And they go, oh yeah, 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 definitely. So Booker wasn't even there. I go, this sucks. I'm like, I flew all the way down here. I'm not even going to perform in front of this guy. He wasn't even there, but they're like, hold on, we're going to get Booker on a Zoom call for you. I go, oh, all right. And they bring me this guy who I can only describe as he's missing a tooth, right? So a toothless freaking Tarzan is this guy. And that's it's like his gimmick. Leopard pants comes out. It looks like freaking like a mental patient Tarzan. That's what he looks like to me. Mm-hmm. And so they put Book on the Zoom call, and then him and I have a match in front of just the fan, just the roster. And all I can hear after that is like, yeah, Book's like, yeah, put those guys on the show. And then I get in the back, and the guy goes, "Hey, man, that was pretty cool. You know, I've been coming here 3 times. They're finally going to put me on the show." And I'm thinking to myself, "I'm like, you've been coming here 3 times, and they haven't put you on the show yet, huh?" So they wanted to. If you put two and two together, there, the match we had with him working with me was able to put him on the show. I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but the guy was coming there 3 times. He wouldn't be able to get on the show. I come there once, we work one match, and now all of a sudden he's getting on the show, which was, like I said, it was cool. That was a great feeling. It was a really good feeling to be able to do that. And then, you know, of course, Book gets on the phone with us right before the show. He's like, he tells the guy, he's like, "Dude, you oversell way too much. You know, you're doing this." He's like, "Tone it back." He goes and he brags around to everybody. He's like, "Oh, I knew that. It got me a three-minute conversation with Booker." I'm like, "You purposely screwed up so you could have a 3-minute conversation with Booker to do something you already know how to do." Wow. I go, okay. And then we go out there, and he on the phone call, he's like, "Don't change a thing about that match. Just don't oversell as much." And this guy comes back up to me, and he wants to change absolutely everything. I go, "Dude, you know, this is my first time here. I really don't want to burn a bridge before I even cross it, you know, so can we just do what the man said? You know, he's a 2-time Hall of Famer. We're, for all intents and purposes, indie guys right now, you know. Please, let's do what he told you." And of course, he wanted to change a few things slightly, and then it changed the structure of the match, and that was the end of that. And I didn't hear that from them for about 4 or 5 months. And I must have called, messaged, like, every 2 weeks. Nothing. And then I was finally, I got a hold of, I don't know what, I think I commented on this guy's page, Kevin's. And he was posting something, and I just commented on it. And he goes, it was something like, "I'm just trying to get back to reality of wrestling." And he's like, "Oh, my God, man. Hey, how you doing?" And he messages me back. He's like, "Hey, are you available this day?" I go, Yeah, I am. He goes, "Really? Are you sure?" He goes, "I think it's close to a holiday." I go, "I don't care. I'm coming." So he goes, "All right, thanks, man. It'll be great. We got something for you." And then he put me up against one of his top guys and had a great match. He wanted me to kick out on his finisher right after 3, and I did it. And I got in so much trouble with Booker T afterwards. So much trouble. And I'm not even – so the guy's telling me, he's like, "I'll give you my deal, and you kick out after 3. I go, "All right, sure, man. This is – I mean, you've been here longer than me. I'm just, you know, trying to feel out the waters." I come back next month. He goes, "Don't you ever fucking do that again, man." I go, "What? What I do?" He's like, "Don't you ever kick out on 3 after a guy's finished like that ever again." And he's like, I'm like, "All right, you know what? Yep, yes, sir. You got it. No argument here. You got it. I knew that. I should have done that, but no argument, you know?" So he gives me another match, and it was just, you know, get somebody else. I actually got to go over, and then I come back again the month afterwards, and then we have one of the best matches on the show. I had to do the favors again, and he goes, "Now this time, when this guy rolls you up, now you kick out at 3. And I'm like, "Oh, okay. I get what you're trying to do to me here. You know, I see the difference now. I see the difference. I knew the difference in the first place, but I see what you're doing, and it makes sense. You know, it makes total sense." So from that point on, I came back from that match. He just looks at me, puts his hands on my shoulder. He's like, "Good job." And then after that, you know, I shortly I guess the rest is so somewhat history there. I did, however, though, I got my injury as I was building some steam there in my shoulder. And I remember calling him, and he's like, "What's up, man?" And I'm like, "Hey, I separated my shoulder. I don't know how long I'm going to be out, but I will still be out there every freaking month. I promise you." And he goes, "I like that. Shit." So you had to restructure everything because they made the whole group of the Heat. But then shortly after the group was made and I was back from my injury, he saw two matches of mine. He came out there for one of them, but he saw two matches of mine. And I didn't know this conversation until the Summer of Champions event afterwards. Kevin was telling me this. He's the head of the production. He goes, "You know, Book calls me up one day, man. And he told me this about you. He goes, 'Man, there's something special about Matt. I can't put my finger on it. It might be the way he bumps. I don't know. There's something special about him, right?'" And he goes, Kevin being Kevin, like, "Yeah, man, Book, it's your show. It's whatever." And he posts up all the shows, right? Kevin does. So two shows later, or a show or so later, he calls Book back and he goes, "I hate it when you're right." And he's like, "What you talking about, man? What you talking about?" And he goes, "Dude, that Matty Ice guy is fucking good." And that just warmed my heart. And I was like, "Oh, man," that just to know, like, 'cause it's been a long journey so far. Mm-hmm. It's been a long journey. I've been through a lot already. And I mean, one of those conversations with like Bradley I've had is that there's no reason that I can't mimic the success of somebody else that's come from my upbringings, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
because there's some people from Premier. There's one person that started in Premier and is doing quote unquote successful right now. So when he told me that, and then I hear that Book was saying that about me, I go, "You know what? I think I still stand a chance in this business." But that is my short summary of my time so far, more or less. Of reality of wrestling.
I love it. And you know, it's so cool about you. You got that, you know, he took that guy that you worked that match with, that Trout. He took it as like, "Oh, I got my
I haven't seen it.
No, you helped him. You elevated him to get him on TV."
Yeah. But I haven't seen him since that day. Wow. That was it. I've never seen him back there since.
That's craziness.
That to me is funny.
Who are some of your favorite people to work with in reality wrestling?
Well, I haven't really worked with a lot of them so far, but let's see. I guess so. My biggest rivalry right now, or actually my only rivalry right now, has been with Edge Stone, and we've had two bangers and a dud, and I've wrestled his friend Tommy Bolton, good buddy of mine too. He's okay. He's pretty good to be with in the ring. I don't have any like, man. I could tell you, it'd be easier for me to tell you who I really want to work with in that ring or that company. I'd love to work with Will all day. Him and I are really good friends. Cam Cole. Definitely Cam Cole. Ryan Davidson. I would freaking love to work with Ryan Davidson. That guy is like a 20-year veteran. He's been to Japan just like Brad. He's always – those three guys to me are like really core good dudes. And then, you know, when Gaspar Hernandez starts developing a little bit more, Mysterious Q is another guy in the Heat. Gaspar and Q are both in the Heat with me. Those guys are solid in the ring. It's just like – next level stuff. I really wish I could see the Outrunners versus Gaspar and Mysterious Q, because I honestly don't think there'd be a better tag team matchup out there right now if they had some kind of build up. That to me would be a cool match. I forget who I would like to work with. I would love to see Mysterious Q, Gaspar, the Heat work the Outrunners. That would be epic. Absolutely epic.
I agree.
The best faction is not the faction, it's the Heat. And the best tag team, yes, it definitely is the Heat. It's not the faction, I'll tell you that right now. The Outrunners are one of my favorite tag teams to watch because they have that old school, not just their persona and their charisma being old school, but the way they wrestle is old school too. And I'm a fan of the old style, old school style. So to see that from them, dude, to see that and then mix that with this, the way that Mysterious Q puts matches together along with Gaspar, oh my God.
Oh, epic. Yeah, that would be a great match to see, for sure. Definitely. Now, as I mentioned, you recently became the Reality of Wrestling champion. What did that moment feel like, and what does it mean to you to represent ROW?
Probably the best moment I've ever had in wrestling so far. Easily. It's one thing to become a champion outside of where I started. It's another thing to become the champion for the company that is not WWE, that is run by a two-time WWE Hall of Famer, for a guy who still works there. He's probably the gateway into NXT. And for him to choose me, you know, this guy that's not from his company originally, and just run with me. Oh my God. Deafening to me. It's just like deafening.
I definitely bet, like, cause like you couldn't have a better opportunity right there being in ROW. I mean, like, Booker T, Sarmel, you know,
everything they do is just next tier. And I wrestle in NWA, and it's great. They have awesome people there, awesome lighting. Everything that they have is really impeccable. But because Booker works at the company still, he gets their lights. The production they have is sometimes I think it's better than WWE. And I'm not just saying it because I'm there. The reason that I went there is because of what I saw, not just because I know that Booker was there. There's a million guys that have been at WWE, or they're not just a million, but there's a handful of guys that have a promotion that have worked at WWE at one point, or still talk to people that work in the top two companies out there, you know? Looking at their product, I was looking around. I go, that is just, it's like the best way to describe it is next level. And to be put up there as their guy right now, it was just, it's still, I told them, I'm like, you know, you made a big mistake making me the champion, because now I'm going to die with this damn thing. Like, this is the big, it was awesome, man. It's just the best experience I've ever had. And the best part is I'm learning so much every time I go.
Right on, and that's what it's about. What has it been like working with Booker T?
Dude, so I'll tell you a funny story about Book. So I was wrestling the Tommy Bolton guy that we were talking about earlier, one of Edge's best friends. And the guy, it's 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes, right? We're going to give Tommy everything, and you get the finish behind, or ice, right? Okay, you got it. I can do that. And we get out there. He walks with me to the ring, right? Comes up to me and he whispers in my ear. He gets me really close. He whispers, pulls me in, whispers in my ear. He's like, all right, get to business. 5 minutes or less. Let's get the hell out of here. Top Golf closes at 11 tonight. Let's go. And I just started laughing. And then right before we go again, right before the bell rings, he pulls me up. He's like, you get me? I'm like, yep. Top Golf closes at 11. He goes, good. All right, great. Get it done, Maddie. Get it done. I'm like, okay, you got it, bud. But yeah, it's just kind of a day in the life of working with Booker. This is how he is. Top Golf closes at midnight tonight. Let's go. I'm like, that's okay.
like you're trying to work that match. And
get to business because Top Golf closes at 11. I'm like, what the? He loves his golf, man. He loves his golf.
That's great. I love that. Thank you for sharing that story. I love that.
Yeah.
Can you talk about your recent cage match defending the ROW Championship against Edge Stone with special referee Nick Patrick? And what it was like to work with a legendary referee like Nick Patrick?
Well, Nick wasn't really in the match that long. He was in towards the end. You can go see it. It's on YouTube now, on the Reality Wrestling's page. So, it was different. I've been in a cage match at OVW and I've been in a cage match at Reality of Wrestling. And I will say this, I choose Reality of Wrestling's cage every single time. Because the one at OVW, I felt like I was going to fall. You know, it was cutting my fingers open. They say wrestling's fake, but, you know. It was cutting my fingers open every time I climbed. The cage was shaking back and forth. I thought the wall side was just going to collapse outward. Whereas Reality of Wrestling's is reinforced. So you clamp onto that bad boy. It's not going nowhere, you know. Not the atmosphere of it, but just the fact that I was able to have a one-on-one match with the steel cage match that I had at Reality of Wrestling made a little bit of a difference. In front of over 1,000 people, almost 1,100 people, was really, really cool. Working with Nick Patrick, like I said, he wasn't really in the match that much because it was primarily just me and Edge in that match. And we did some things that some people have never seen before. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you probably people have never seen, will probably never see again unless they steal it from us, right. Which I can tell you right now, unless they watch Steamboat and Rick Rude, they're probably not going to know how to do it right.
Definitely. Switching gears a little bit, I want to talk to you about New South Wrestling. What was it like to work that tag team match at New South Wrestling with Oliver Gunner, who's another alumni of the show, against Brian Pillman Jr. and Nick Aldis?
That match specifically?
Yes.
Screw Oliver Gunner. No, I'm just kidding. Because I jumped off the ring apron from when he tried to make a tag with me. It was cool. But I like the guys at New South because they always do well to take good care of me. They've always decided to put me in matches with the guys that have been on TV, which I am greatly thankful for and appreciative of. And Oliver, you know, for a guy who's as green as he was, he did all right. He did all right. You could tell he was shaking in his boots, but you know, that's just the name of this game that people have to get over and start, you know, to overcome. So, but for what his experience level was, you know, he did fine. Nick Aldis, I don't understand why certain people have such an agenda against him. He seemed like a good guy to me. Everybody was easy to work there. So it was a good atmosphere because less pressure is the way to put it. I think you can put it that way. It's just a lot less pressure. And the guys in the ring were really easy to work with.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the best advice you've been given thus far in your career?
Best advice I've been given, I say again?
Best advice you've been given in your career.
I don't want to say, like, as everybody says, slow down, but I guess so many people, they're like, oh, yeah, you got to go slow. You got to slow it down. That's the best way to do it. I don't think everybody understands that. There really is they really don't understand what it means to actually slow down and let everything resonate. I really wish I could explain it better, but the only way it could be explained is by just doing it and being in that ring. So for me, it's slowing down. Every time I've had to come back after a long absence or something like that, it's always been, okay, we got to do this, got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. And no, just take time, relax. You're only out there for a short period of time anyway. Get the most out of it. I get really good advice almost all the time, you know, so I can't really put like anything more so than that, because that is the golden rule for wrestling, is slow the hell down. There's a lot of guys out there that even my size or bigger that are just rushing through everything. And then they also, there's a thing of going too slow as well. You know, you got to find that right pace. I guess that was the actual advice that I was given, is find the good pace, listen to the people. That's the difference of going too slow or going too fast, you know, utilizing those things to figure out how to get through your match. That was probably the best advice out of all the advice that was given to me from all these people that have been on television for a long time.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. Like, take your time and relax with it, you know, like, that's definitely, I agree. That would be great, great advice right there. Do you prefer to work as a babyface or a heel?
Oh, heel all the time. Yeah. I will say though, like, babyface is kind of cool. I do like being able to come alive. You know, heel, I would say, is like my 10, but babyface is 9.5. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Heel, when you're a heel, it's like, you're turned up so much, and it's like, that's not really me.
Yeah. I like being able to go in any direction that I want to go.
Oh, yeah. For sure. When did you, or who do you see, or who would you like to see as your next challenger for the ROW Championship?
I can't tell you who it's going to be. All I can say is, they're probably contracted somewhere.
I'll take it as that.
I'll leave it that way.
There you go. Do you have any messages for any possible challengers?
Best of luck, because you're not taking it from me. I told you, like I said, I'm dying with the thing, so nobody's taking that thing from me. If I get signed to WWE, I'm walking through the Performance Center with the championship in my bag, and Booker T, I will personally write a check to Booker T for the amount of whatever it costs for a new belt, but I will walk out of that company with that belt with me.
I love that answer. There you go. What are some of your goals in the next 5 years?
Next 5 years, I would very much like to be signed to World Wrestling Entertainment. Very much so. And if that's not necessarily in the cards, I'm happy doing my thing at NWA, at Reality of Wrestling, you know, maybe some indie wrestling companies here and there. But those two places right now, like, those places got me going good, and I like where I'm at with them. But like I said, the main goal is WWE. Main roster, definitely by 5 years. Definitely 5 years. Hopefully NXT champion somewhere in between there, but main roster, and then starting to look into some kind of program by 5 years. All some right, kind man. Of big I'm, program, too.
I'm definitely hoping that that's where you're going to be at, and for sure, you know, I'd say, like you said earlier, being at ROW, that I'd say that's a gateway to getting on NXT at least, and getting your foot in the door at WWE. I mean, I feel like that you're correct in saying that. Who would your dream match opponent be? What type of match would it be? And where would the location be? Like the arena or Where? What would the venue be?
See, I can't answer this question, because Randy Orton would be that person, but depending on Randy Orton's health right now, even when he comes back, if we're talking real time, because let's be realistic, if I were to have a match with Randy Orton right now, he's probably 70, 80% of what he was. Should he come back, not to mention, he's past his main years now. And he's going to, don't get me wrong, even if he does less, he's still doing more than a lot of people out there. But I couldn't have the match that I would envision being a dream match with him at this point in his life, as well as mine. So I guess the only thing I could say is maybe Roman's still head of the bloodline and universal undisputed champion or whatever the hell it is now. And I could go after him at a Mania or something like that. I don't know. But I guess I'll just answer, like, if Randy Orton was in great health and was wanting to do something, definitely Randy Orton. That's probably never going to be the case. That's just the way the cards worked out for me. So, I guess I'll have to live with that. But until then, I guess it's whoever the top guy is. And biggest stage you could possibly find, give me the biggest venue you could possibly get. The harder and more stressful it is, throw it at me.
There you go. I love that answer. I like the throw it at me. That's a workhorse type answer. Like, that's like, I'm here for, I don't care who the challenger is, just bring it,
Yeah.
For lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Any upcoming shows you would like to promote?
NWA is having their 75th anniversary here, the 26th and 27th. I'll be there night one and hopefully night two as well, as well as studio tapings in Nashville the following Monday and Tuesday. I will be at both of those, live and in living color. Reality of Wrestling is supposed to have its next or its opening show in the new Booker T World Gym Arena. And I'm not sure when that's going to be, but keep the lookout and keep your September calendars open, because it will be in September. I just don't know exactly when in September just yet. So those four shows at NWA and the fifth being the Reality of Wrestling, that's all I really have going on thus far until somebody reaches out to me down in Kentucky.
All right. Well, I definitely encourage all the fans listening to go check out these shows if you're in the area, or if you're in driving distance, make these shows, go check them out, and support wrestling and support any wrestling, support wrestling in general, and go support Matty Ice. How can fans find you on social media?
Really, my only social media is my Instagram, and that's at Instant Classic MV. For Vine, and that's really it, man. I kind of lead a little more of a privatized life. Even everything I post on my Instagram is primarily wrestling, so if you want to find me on there, that's where I'm at.
All right, fans, go give him a follow on his Instagram page. And then, how can promoters, if they're interested in contacting you for their next show, how can they get in contact with you?
They can reach out to me there first, and then I can give them more details after.
Sounds good. All right. If you're a promoter out there listening, go ahead and hit up Matty Ice and get him on your next show. You won't be disappointed at all. Matty Ice, I'd like to thank you for coming on this week's episode of The Final Count, and you're welcome to come back anytime, sir.
Sounds good, my man. We'll catch you down the road.
Sounds good. Thank you. There you have it, fans. That was my interview with Matty Ice. And again, I'd like to thank Matty Ice for coming on the show. But right now, it's time to announce next week's guest. Next week, right here on the Final Count Spotlight, I'll be joined by the 80s baby, CW3. That's right. Next week's spotlight will be the 80s baby, CW3. So be sure to join me back here next Tuesday on the Final Count Spotlight. And then be sure to join me and Chance Karpinski this coming up Friday and every Friday following for our review / news show that will be every Friday. So be sure to come back on Friday and check out the news / review show with myself and Chance Karpinski. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be a great time. Again, it's going to be a great roller coaster. But for right now, as I say every week, we will see you down the road.